A quick glance through the scriptures will show us that every time and in every place God shows up, it's always these earth-shaking moments, and the people will respond with fear and trembling. They'll respond with repentance and faith. Like the seed that falls on shallow ground, they will immediately spring up with joy and praise and thanksgiving. Whatever you say, Lord, we will do. And then after some time, they stop caring. In the book of Exodus, God comes down to a specific place, time and space, a moment, right there on top of a mountain. His almighty presence draws near. The people, they hear with their ears thunder and what sounded like these heavenly trumpets. And with their eyes, they see flashes of lightning and the mountain begins to smoke. This holy incense billowing out from the mountain's edges. And the creation itself begins to tremble. And the people right by the mountain also begin trembling. They're afraid of the appearance. They begin backing away from the mountain, and they cry out with repentance and faith. Say, Moses, you speak to us. We will listen to you. Whatever you say, we will do. But don't let God speak to us, or we'll die. Whatever Moses commanded, they would do. They had such strong faith. But then after some time, they stopped caring. They make it an entire 40 days, to be exact, but the smoke from the mountain became old news, and the sound of the heavenly trumpets began to ring into deaf ears and upon cold hearts. The flashes of lightning no longer stirred a response within. They needed something different, something more meaningful. What God was doing upon the mountain was no longer enough for them. And so they ran to fashion their own idols. Made out of gold, they create this golden calf, and they bow down and worship this new thing, exciting thing. All while the Lord reigned on top of the mountain, right next to their blatant idolatry. So the Lord comes, and after sweeping away their sin and idolatry, God instructs Moses on how to build his holy dwelling place, the tabernacle, the place where God would come and dwell with his people, right there in the midst of them, a moment in time and space, created by God, instructed by God, yet made with human hands. Once the tabernacle was completed, the glory of the Lord came upon the temple and filled it. The cloud of glory billowing out from the tabernacle, so dense that Moses couldn't even enter it. The pillar by fire by night, the cloud by day. Right there for the people of Israel to see with their own eyes. And whenever the cloud went, they went. And wherever the fire stayed, they stayed. Whatever you command, Lord, we will do. They were overjoyed and embarked on an incredible adventure with the Lord. But after some time, they stopped caring. The glory of the tabernacle became old news. The sight of the cloud of glory and the pillar of fire was no longer enough. They grumbled and complained for something more, something deeper, something new, looking to scratch the itch of their own discontentment, they began to craft for themselves new idols. Things that were fresh, different, most importantly, approving of their own sinful passions. And so the glory of the Lord left the tabernacle. And yet he promised one day to return in glory and gather his people upon a holy mountain. Ezekiel the prophet proclaimed, I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them, thus says the Lord. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. God promised through the prophet Malachi that I'll send Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day that the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of their fathers to their children and the hearts of their children to their fathers. And the people responded with joy, "Whatever you say, Lord, we will do." And they waited with excitement and anticipation. But after some time, they stopped caring. God never stops caring for us. He never stops caring for his creation. Thanks be to God that even though we stop caring at times, God never stops caring for us. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and he led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And behold, he was transfigured before them, his face brighter than the flashes of lightning that once flashed upon the mountain of Israel and before Moses, his clothes transfigured, white as light. The heavenly cloud, the glory of the Lord, now wrapped in human flesh, stood upon the holy mountain. And behold, all of a sudden there appeared Moses and Elijah. And the voice of God, which trembles the whole earth, rang out from the cloud of glory, billowing above and surrounding them whole. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And the disciples, like all the saints before, they respond with fear and trembling, repentance and faith. They fall on their faces terrified. They say, "Lord, it is good that we are here. Let us build some tents for you. Lord, everything that you say, we will do. We will obey. God has come. His glory has been revealed." The disciples see with their own eyes this earth-shaking moment. But even them, even they too, stop caring. While the Lord Jesus was fixed upon a cross, the disciples no longer cared. They hid. While the Son of God breathed his last breath and the earth shook and trembled and the curtain to that temple was torn in two, his disciples no longer cared. He wasn't enough for them. While Jesus suffered and God chose to reveal his glory through weakness and suffering, the disciples ran off looking for more power and safety, something greater, something more exciting, life-fulfilling. How God was working to save his people right there next to them on the cross wasn't enough. They no longer cared. Jesus fulfills the scripture, "For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We stop caring for the ways that God provides for us. Our spouse, we seek other things. Our income, we seek other means. Our peace, we seek other ways. All of us here gathered in this place at one point or another stop caring for the ways which God provides our daily bread. But thanks be to God that he never stops caring for us. Jesus never stopped caring, completely devoted to his Father in perfect obedience and devoted to you to give you a new heart and his Spirit. He gave up his life for you on that holy mountain, Mount Calvary, God's mountain, the place foreknown before the foundation of the world where God's glory would be and is fully revealed for all. And the Lord Jesus, who is risen from the dead, instructs his apostles on how to build his holy dwelling place, the church, the mystical body of Christ. "Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Bring the little children unto me, and I will give them a new heart and put my Spirit within them and teach them everything that I have commanded you. Teach them my word. The glory of the Lord, the fire of and cloud of Yahweh comes and resides within each human heart at the proclamation of his holy word. Baptize them, teach them, take and eat, take and drink, bread from heaven, blood that atoned for the sins of the whole world, given and shed for you, offered right here in this place, a moment in time and space where the glory of the Lord comes to fill you. God's presence and glory are here among us today, in his word and in the sacraments. These glorious ways in which God works to save his people and to draw all mankind to himself. Do you remember the first time that you got to receive Holy Communion? The fear and the trembling, the excitement, maybe just to have confirmation classes finally over with. The joy and the comfort that you felt the first time the blood of the Lamb touched your lips. Lord, whatever you command, we will do. I remember my time. I was so excited about receiving the supper. I went home with my little individual cup and I put it in a plastic bag and I tacked it on my wall. I don't know why I did. It just was fitting, I guess, and I wanted to see it. It was a visual reminder for me every day while in high school of where Christ has promised to be found, in the breaking of the bread, in the waters of baptism, in the proclamation of his holy word, in the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins. How glorious these means are to his sheep. And yet we're no different than the Israelites. We're no different than the disciples. At times we've stopped caring. The Eucharist becomes old news. Baptism seems of little value to us. And so we look for something new, something more exciting. So we craft our own idols. We bow down and worship our own golden calves, our emotions, our reason, our own plans for ourselves, our own personal levels of happiness, the works of our own hands right here next to the place where God has promised to come and dwell, the place where he comes to give you his Spirit, all by his grace and to sustain that Spirit that he gives to you. We stop caring. But thanks be to God, he never stops caring for you. God is devoted to you perfectly. And Jesus loves you. With an undying love, he gave up his life for you. And in his own divine plan and foreknowledge, he chose not to bring you into the desert and to show you his glory upon the mountain of Israel and Moses, nor did he bring you on top of the mountain with Peter, James, and John. But he brought you here. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here in this place where his Son is revealed to you in the proclamation of his word and in the breaking of the bread, where his very body and blood that hung on that cross is mysteriously given to you at this table, placed right before your eyes to see, spoken for your ears to hear, believed in your heart by the Spirit alone that gives faith. Take and eat. Take and drink. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Amen.